listening to The Mike Huckabee Show, your insider's guide to the Republican National Convention, live from Liberty Plaza inside the Clean Coal Studios.
Welcome back to Tampa, Florida. Senator Jim Inhofe remains with me, and I'm also joined by former Michigan Governor John Engler, a longtime good friend who is also the president of the Business Roundtable. John, welcome to the Mike Huckabee Show today.
I'm delighted to be here, Governor, and delighted to find a corner where there's common sense and conservatism reigning.
That's what we try to be. We always tell people that they'll set their GPS for common sense and conservatism, they'll come to the Mike Huckabee Show. Senator Inhofe, I want to get right back to the question I was ready to ask at the break. You're the second ranking member on the Armed Services Committee. You understand what happens to the military if Congress can't come up with an agreed-upon budget. Explain the consequences to the United States of America and to its people.
You know, Mike, we've been talking about the president's war on fossil fuels. It's been a war on the military at the same time. You know, in his first budget, I positioned myself in Afghanistan because I knew he was going to start his disarming of America. That's when he did away with our only fifth-generation fighter, the F-22, our only lift capacity, the C-17, our future combat system, the ground-based interceptor in Poland. That was just his first budget, and it's been going even worse ever since then. Now, you stop and think about it. Here's a president in his own budget that gives us $5.3 trillion of deficit, but the only ones who are being punished are the military. If you project out what he has done for the next 10 years, this is in his budget. It'll cut our military by $500 billion, and then if you get into the bomb of sequestration, that's another $500 billion. Even his own Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, said that's devastating to America and to our defense system.
What on earth is the goal for making these type of deep cuts?
Well, Mike, you got to keep in mind, liberals don't think you need a military anyway. They think, no, I'm serious.
Everybody loves us, right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to
believe.
If
we all stand in a circle and hold hands and unilaterally disarm, all threats will go away. You know that.
But yeah, that's worked out beautifully for us so far.
Yeah, that's really bad. And what he's doing, of course, in the Middle East and with Israel, that's terrible. But by taking us down, most of the people I talk to think that when we send our kids into battle, they have the best of everything. They don't. And that's what our goal is, to get that way. He's just devastated the military.
Governor John Engler now serves as president of the Business Roundtable. Business is not exactly flourishing right now. And let's talk about the reasons why.
Well, I mean, you just heard one of them. There are a lot of businesses that are very much involved in the national security issues. And you think about that disinvestment there. There's been a lack of focus on infrastructure and needed investments there. And then you've got uncertainty everywhere you look, so thick you can cut it with a knife. I mean, what's the tax regime for the country? Everything's pretty much expired, or if it hasn't, 40 provisions last December 31, probably another 40 or 60 this December 31. No certainty on the regulatory front, an EPA that's been reversed by the courts on multiple occasions. So lots and lots of uncertainty. And then this looming, not just the fiscal cliff, but the deficit itself and the implications for that at a time when America's economic strength could come to the fore. There's weakness, significant weakness in Europe. You've seen China slow down. There's really an opportunity for the United States right now if we had a firm hand saying these are the decisions and these are the policies. And on day one, you start on an energy plan that has been talked about, where you approve the investment in the energy infrastructure while allowing for the exploration of lands that have been rather arbitrarily taken off. I mean, we've got the Gulf shut down because of Isaac right at the moment, but a whole lot of the Gulf never reopened after Katrina, and that was a matter of policy.
Well, both of you guys were involved in something near and dear to my heart. John Engler was governor of Michigan at the time when he, Tommy Thompson, and Michael Lovett really were the architects of welfare reform. Senator, you were in the United States Senate. You both have been intricately involved in the crafting of one of the great, great moments in which reform worked at the government level, and that's to take people off of welfare where they were dependent upon government and help them to get off of that transition into jobs through welfare reform that required work. This administration, though they deny it, wants to take the work requirement out of the welfare provision. Now, they say I'm lying when I say that. I want your perspective. Am I lying, or are they lying? Because somebody ain't telling the truth here.
Well, you remember, Mike, it was back during the Clinton administration, And I hate to give him too much credit because he wasn't really for all this welfare reform until he found out that we were going to get it anyway. He turned around and very skillfully took credit for it. But nonetheless, that happened during his administration. Everything in terms of the reduced welfare rolls has been completely reversed. Can I say one thing while John's here, though? On this regulation thing that we're doing, help is on its way, John, because when Republicans take over, I will take over the chairmanship of Environment and Public Works, and we're going to reverse a lot of these regulatory. So you tell your business people help is on its way.
I hear cheers going up all over America on
well,
that.
Well, I tell you what, I think checkbooks are getting out. You know, they're coming out of the closet, they're taking them out of the safe, and they're ready to start investing. There's cash on hand. What you need is the right investment climate, and that's what's been lacking. And you need also to bring trillions of dollars that are trapped offshore back home by getting the tax structure right. So there's a host of decisions. A number of them, I think, President Romney could make on day one. Others will, as the senator just pointed out correctly, are going to require a coalition in the Congress to do that. But I think when you put some of these bills out of committee, which they'll happen with Senator Inhofe as the chair, then I think they're going to pass the Senate.
Speak to that welfare issue, though,
John. Welfare issue, back to that.
Yeah.
There's no question that work was a cornerstone because we, and part of the changes in the during the 95-96 debate and then the 96 act that President Clinton signed after he vetoed two earlier measures was that there would be work requirements and states were empowered to actually to put a lifetime limit on dependency on public assistance. Now, the Obama economy has driven a lot of people out of the workforce, sadly. I mean, the workforce participation is about at the lowest level it's been in certainly recent decades, 8% plus unemployment, but there's still our jobs, and there still is an importance attached to trying to connect every individual family with a job. And what has happened is that the administrative changes would allow, on a state-by-state basis, as I understand, people to simply walk away from the work requirement. And while there'd be governors, and I'd say Scott Walker would be a good example, or John Kasich would never walk away from that, I can think of many others who'd walk immediately away from that. And so the point you're making is spot on.
Senator, you know Oklahoma is going to go for Mitt Romney. Tell the rest of the country why they ought to vote for Mitt Romney rather than Barack Obama this year.
Well, I think let's start on the negative side of it. We talked about the deficits that we have. Those were actually, Mike, in the president's budget. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. His budget had a total of $5.3 trillion of deficit in a four-year period. That's more than all presidents since George Washington combined. That's number one. Number two, we've been talking about the overregulation. That's what's killing jobs. Number three, we could be completely energy sufficient in this country if we just export our own resources. And number four, defending America. I mean, people have to understand, and I think they do understand, that we have a president that has decimated our military. We got to change it.
Well, Senator Inhofe, thank you for being here today. Always a pleasure, and I certainly hope you're chairing that committee come January, because Lord knows we're not getting a whole lot done right now.
I'll have you come in as a witness.
Okay, I will do that. John Engler is going to stick around with us. We promised Senator Inhofe we would let him go because he has other things to do other than sit here and chit-chat with me, although I can't think of anything more important than that personally. Senator, great to see you.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you again very soon. John Engler, president of the Business Roundtable, is going to stick around with me. Later this hour, we'll talk to Evan Tracy from Clean Coal and the Secretary of State of Kansas, Chris Kobach. And we want to remind you that we're going to be broadcasting every day live from Tampa, Florida. We are here at the Clean Coal Pavilion at Liberty Plaza. A lot of the RNC activities getting condensed into 3 days that was supposed to be four, all because of the threat of Hurricane Isaac. Turns out Isaac kind of took a pass on Tampa, but it's headed west, headed toward New Orleans. We'll keep up with all of those pieces of the puzzle as we continue throughout this week. We'll be right back. Do not miss a minute. This is the Mike Huckabee Show.
I feel like, wow, a lot of people are counting on me. They're hoping I'll be able to win.